Hey fam, welcome to Our City Church. We are so glad you are here. And if you are looking for some good sermons and words of encouragement, you have come to the right place. And while you're here, go ahead and subscribe, like, comment, and share. That way you are up to date on all our latest content. Now, let's join this week's sermon in progress.
How many of y'all have some funny childhood memories of Christmas? Come on, can you think of some stuff that you can look back on now, and maybe it wasn't as funny then as it is now, but I remember growing up as a kid, we moved from Chicago to Kentucky, and right down the middle, we were right between two big mountains, and they were nothing but pine trees on the mountains. And I remember the first Christmas we got there, Dad says, "We're going to go cut down a tree." Well, we went and cut down a tree, and it was probably better than Charlie Brown's tree, but it was about that what it looked like. Took that thing in the house and got it all prepared and put it down in a box. I remember it was a big old bucket of rocks to kind of hold it up. You know, that's how ancient. We didn't even have a Christmas tree holder. But we put that thing in there. We decorated it. We took the construction paper, made loops. Come on, can anybody remember that? Come on, popcorn through there. We had it. That was the ugliest tree. If you look at this tree out here in our lobby, our tree was sad. But we thought it was beautiful. But it was right within about 15 feet of the wood-burning stove that my mom kept the house on 300 degrees all winter. We didn't put any water in that bucket. There was pine needles everywhere. I mean, I think we wore out two vacuum cleaners trying to get all the pine needles up. But, I mean, it was just our first tree that we had, but that thing was, I mean, getting it out of the house was just breaking all to pieces. But we learned the next year. We did a lot better. But, you know, don't you love about getting gifts, too? I remember when we got gifts, most of the time, if you can relate, you know, you usually got two things that you needed and one thing that you wanted. And I will say that my mom and dad were very, you know, we didn't open Christmas presents on Christmas Eve night. Now, nope. You got to wait till Sunday morning, I mean, till Christmas morning. But I remember the best gifts were the unexpected ones. They did a good job surprising us, too. And I remember one time we got an Atari. All four of us got an Atari. Come on. Then we had to share. Yes. That was fun. That'll preach right there, too. But I was the oldest, so I was the Atari king. And my loyal subjects ruled under me. And I remember also getting a Hot Wheels track. Y'all remember Hot Wheels tracks? I loved that thing until my mom thought that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. You ever got a whipping with a Hot Wheel track? I'm telling you what, you will never, ever forget that. Oh, praise the Lord.
Well, I know this Christmas, some of you are having the best Christmas season ever. But I also know that there are some of us that it's been hard. It's been difficult. We're walking through some pretty dark stuff. But I want you to know that you may not be feeling joy at all, but joy is here.
Come on.
I've talked to so many people this holiday season that says it just doesn't feel like Christmas. And I really don't think it's because there's a lack of snow or there's a lack of decorations. How many of you put up your Christmas before December? Before Thanksgiving. Come on. Yes.
I had to touch her head. I thought she was a little sick, but she put it way early this year.
Yeah, I did. And we all know that the economy is terrible and that many people are dealing with financial difficulties and financial burdens. And I've also noticed that Christmas has been more focused on presents than presents. And last week, we just kind of shifted our attitude and we focused on presents. So much better. You know, people are battling with all kinds of health problems, dealing with grief. 2 years later, the season hit and I got sad. It's real. People are dealing with heartbreak in relationships and family drama. Come on, somebody. The list goes on and on and on. And I was talking to Yolamar, who is back serving in City Kids today, last week when we were cleaning the church, and she is expecting, as you all know. And she said, "This is my favorite time of the year, but it's just not feeling the way it's always felt. And if you're on social media, you've seen, this is the least Christmassy Christmas I've ever experienced. And I think there are a lot of people that are feeling the same way. Christmas just doesn't feel the same. But I want to remind you that on a day in Bethlehem, many years ago, Mary and Joseph was dealing with some hard times too. Oh, that's right. I mean, Mary was pregnant by the Holy Spirit. That seemed like a scandal. There were no hospitals or no hotels, no inns for her to deliver the baby. He was born in a barn, a stable, cold outside, animals all around, and there was not even a bed to lay him in, that they laid him in a wooden trough. Then, think this thought, they have the added pressure that, oh my, we are going to be raising the promised Messiah.
Wow. What's pressure?
I don't know about y'all, but just raising kids is a lot. You know, we're raising the Savior of the world. Then, after he was born, there was a decree that went out that all boys under 2 would be killed. Imagine getting this news, Matthew 2:16. Herod was furious when he realized that the wise men had outwitted him. He sent soldiers to kill all the boys in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old and under, based on the wise men's report of the star's first appearance. So Mary and Joseph were facing all kinds of troubles, maybe not exactly like our troubles, but troubles just the same. But joy to the world, the Savior was born. And I believe that we have to take on the attitude of Mary and Joseph, that we look at all of our trials and all of our troubles as just tools in God's hands. What a perspective change. When we do it that way, when we look at it that way, what God does is he takes those things and allows them to mold us and make us into something more than we can think or imagine. And I know, it's much easier to get frustrated, to be in the hustle and bustle, to get sad, to get angry, to get overwhelmed. Anybody overwhelmed? All of the emotions when things get tough and we lose our joy. But I want to tell you something today, that joy is not an emotion. Joy is an attitude. Does anybody need an attitude adjustment today?
I get one of those every day.
Joy is defined as a resilient cheerfulness anchored in the goodness of God.
Yeah,
and Psalm 35 says, weeping may last through the night, but joy comes in the morning. Let's restart, refocus, and reset on joy. Let's pray. Father, we come to you today in Jesus' name, the name above all names. Thank you for sending your one and only Son so that we could have joy, so that we could have peace and hope and love. And God, that you sent him for the forgiveness of our sins. Lord, today you be lifted up in Jesus' name.
I was waiting for amen. But do you know how to find joy? So many people in the world today are looking for joy and they're spending their lives searching for it, but they're looking in all of the wrong places. Look at Romans 15:13. It says, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then your joy will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. The life of a Christian is to be a life of contagious joy. You know why? We have the hope of the world. We have a relationship with Jesus. We ought to be the most joyful people on the planet Earth because we found the answer to all of the questions, not even in life, but in everything that we do. We should be contagious. Jesus is joy. Just like the Grinch tried to, y'all like last week, it was good, wasn't it? Just like the Grinch tried to steal their presence, he tried to steal their joy. Joy cannot be taken away from you without your permission.
Come on.
When you go to your car, do you leave it unlocked? Funny story. I love them. Well, I remember growing up where we grew up in Eastern Kentucky. My dad would leave the keys in the car. The doors would be open. He don't do that anymore. But we lived just like that. But when you park your car and you lock all the doors, you go in the house, you deadbolt them. Some people have three alarm systems on their house, but you make sure nobody's going to get in. You don't leave your keys in the ignition. If you do that, you're inviting someone to come and to rob you and to steal from you. It's the same way with the enemy. The things that we do that invite him to come and steal our joy. I said this last week or a couple weeks ago. Some of y'all need to be saved on the Gene Snyder. I pray for her every time she starts coming home. Lord Jesus, please forgive her. She is doing so much better. Used to be a 15-minute rant all the way home. She said, do you want to talk to me? I was like, no, I really don't want to talk to you right now. But I mean, we allow traffic to steal our joy. We allow our computers, and if our internet is if the internet is slow, we go down. And if your phone updates when it's not supposed to, oh my gosh, I get very joyless when that happens. Remember, yours did it a couple weeks ago, and she was not happy about it. But we also let our past mistakes steal our joy. Mm-hmm. I asked you a question. Are we still allowing things that happened so many years ago to steal our joy? We have worry, we have regret, we have grudges, we have complaining. Come on. How many needs to bury the axe, not in the skull of somebody in your family, but needs to bury the hatchet or bury the axe and just say, okay, we're not going to go there anymore. We're going to need to quit complaining and quit being in comparison. Oh, that one we could talk for 30 minutes. But we have to guard and we have to protect our joy. Why do we say we've lost our joy? Our joy, this is it. Our joy is lost the moment we take our eyes off Jesus and we put it on everything around us. Mm-hmm. We put it on the circumstances or the situations or the people that can't fill your joy the way Jesus can. We become disconnected and we forget that God is in control. This world is hard right now. And sometimes we look around, we don't understand, man, God, where are you in some situations? But I can tell you with a surety, God is still in control. He's not up there scratching his bald head. Yes, I picture God as being bald. He's not up there scratching his bald head going, wow, wonder what's going on. He's fully in control, and we have to trust him. Our thoughts can steal our joy. Here's the big one. How many of y'all overthink things? Oh, there's a bunch of y'all. Okay. I'm not really bad about overthinking it, but I'm around people that, man, if you say one little sentence to them, they're take it to the, I'm like, that's nowhere close to what I meant to say right there. But sometimes we can allow joy to overthink ourselves.
How many of you want to find joy again?
Come on.
There
All
are
two
four,
of you.
Yeah. I guess y'all are joyful and everything's great.
Say there, that again. Let's ask one more time. How many?
Go ahead.
How many want to find their joy? Come on, Ben, you can do that better. Let's do it better. How many want to find their joy? Good job, Santa.
There are four very simple, not easy, but simple ways that we can find joy again. And the first one is gratitude.
Amen.
It is scientifically proven that when you begin to be grateful and you speak it out loud, it creates new neural pathways in your brain. So gratitude is so important. I know every morning I wake up and I name at least three things, not the same three things, I'm not being lazy, three things every morning that I'm grateful for. It really does change some things. Another way is to prioritize friends and family. Y'all, as a recovering workaholic, I can choose work over friends and family. Well, over friends, not my family, a lot. But when we prioritize time with friends and family and we become more present to the moment, our joy comes back, right? Do and experience more. I think we get stuck in a rut and it steals our joy. We get up, it's like Groundhog Day. We wake up, we go to work, we come home, we cook dinner, we do kids' baths, and then we go to bed and we start it all over again. And the last way is to help others. Now I'm gonna break it down because I want you to activate your joy again. I'm gonna need your participation. Okay? You don't have to, nobody has to come up here. You're just going to be doing it all in your mind. But the first thing, I want you to think of a couple of things that you're grateful for this year. It may have been a tough year, but right now in your mind, I'm going to give you a few seconds. Think of a couple things that you're grateful for. Did it make you smile? Did it put a little twinkle in your eye? Let me ask you to think about how you can prioritize your friends and family. Think of a couple ways that you can do this year. As you gather for Christmas, how can you do it? Now I'm going to challenge you to decide to put one of those things in practice. We had our family Christmas yesterday, and it was 7 hours of just family and fun and grandbabies, and it was so good. And
it was exhausting, but it was great.
I took my phone, and I laid it on the ledge.
Both of us did.
So that I wouldn't miss a moment. So what is it can you do? Is it putting away your phone for a minute for the Christmas activity? Is it having more meaningful conversations instead of just talking about people and talking about work and talk? What is it? Now I want you to think of one thing that you can do to experience more this year. Yesterday, I was so joyful. So joyful that I almost missed my Saturday night bedtime. I looked up and I was like, oh my gosh, it's 7 o'clock. I go to bed at 7 o'clock on Saturday night. That's where I was. I was so present to the moment. And then find a way that you can help somebody else. This year we were able to partner with Lure Elementary and we were able to help families provide Christmas. It was so much fun. So much fun. I've done a couple of other things on my own just to be able to give and be a help to others. Joy really is, you all, a point of view. It's just a different way that you look at things. And when we choose joy, it shifts our perspective. It takes us from stinking thinking to possibilities. You know, I'm not going to think about the negative. I'm choosing joy and look at what is in front of me because I think differently. And remember what I said earlier. Joy is not an emotion. It's an attitude. And I can tell you from the people I'm around, we're always chasing after feelings. And feelings fail us. You don't have a strong emotional intelligence. You know what we do? We get on social media or we see friends hanging out together and we weren't invited. And we begin to get jealous. We feel rejected. We feel isolated. And we begin to lose our joy. FOMO is real. It really is real. I got a text from Jessica Wethington, her family, goes to the mountains every Christmas and praying for the service, and she said FOMO is real.
Hey, but can I tell y'all the Joneses for the most part are broke? What you see on social media is not what I'm most Joneses. I have some Joneses out here. But what you see on social media is not true, most of it. But we spend our time so much, like she said, comparing ourselves. And I'm not going to get ahead of because I think I just did. But I always get that look. I just said, but we have to start living our own lives. Don't be looking at someone else's life because you don't know how miserable. I'll tell the story real quick. I mean, we used to take kids out all the time, refuge. We go out in these big, nice housing places. And they would be looking at these people with kids be walking and going, man, they must be happiest people in the world. I mean, they got this big house and three cars and a boat. But we would knock on doors and we would pray for people. And these people were crying. These people were broke. These people were, families were a mess. So what you see is not always what you get. Sorry, I didn't mean to have it.
And when we begin to compare our lives to others, we begin to feel less than, right? And I have always said, when I compare something to somebody else, and you do it too, we take our worst qualities and we compare it to somebody else's best qualities.
That's right.
You know, back in the day, pre-menopause, I had great legs, but I would look at somebody else's flat belly and I'd be like, wow, I wish I had that. When I should have been grateful that I had great legs. We always take our worst qualities and compare it to somebody else's.
She got some good
comparison. Comparison truly is the thief of your joy. Bigger than anything, comparison steals your joy. Am I right? We can change our perspective from, let's just celebrate those people, instead of compare with them. And watch you rediscover your joy. And you'll rediscover gratitude for what you do really have.
Joy is a choice. It's not getting what you want. It's appreciating what you have. So many of us don't, you know, those two or three things you thought that brought joy to yourself, that you came up to on yourself, you need to start thinking on those things each and every day. And I guarantee you can get a list about a mile long of what God's done in your life, how good he's been in your life. But sometimes we dwell too much on not appreciating what we have. But joy isn't always the easiest or the most obvious choice, but joy is a choice. Pastor Rick Warren says this, joy is the settled assurance that God is in control of all the details of my life, the quiet confidence that ultimately everything is going to be all right, and the determined choice to praise God in every situation. Kids bring us joy. Some of y'all parents with young kids, you're probably like, okay, yeah, what, 3 days a week anyway. Kids bring us joy. And man, I told some of the heads or twins that at breakfast was saying, I said, he was telling me how hard it was. And I said, they're going to be older and they ain't going to want to talk to you anymore. I said, so just go through this life, this time right now that you have with them, and say, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Even though I want to, they grow up so fast, man. I'm telling you, it's crazy. Grandparents, the moments are so few. And we get disconnected, you know, from our responsibilities, and we just need to be present for the moment. We both walked in there and put our phones in the living room up on a shelf. I don't know, that I may have tapped it on once or twice in 7 hours. So I decided, hey, listen.
To take pictures,
which they weren't very good. But anyway, but I just wanted to be present to the moment, because we can get so trapped in scrolling. We can get so trapped in looking at things. We can get so trapped on TikTok, even though I don't have it, but I hear this is. But anytime you're with them, increase your joy. It would be good for some of us just to sit down, again, like she said, and make a list of the things that bring us joy and focus on those things every day. Good. Some of those things are on our joy list should be connecting with God. We shouldn't let Christmas be the reason for the season. We should have God in our lives, Jesus in our lives, 24/7, 7 days a week. He should be the one we wake up to and go to bed to and praise every day during the day too. We can't just make this a seasonal thing. We need to make this a lifetime change.
Yes.
True joy doesn't come from our circumstances. It comes from our presence with him. And you got to let his presence renew us, renew our strengths and fill our hearts. Share his joy and remind others of the hope that we have in him.
Some of the things on my joy list is spending time with people I love. It's with y'all. I look forward to every Sunday morning. I looked forward to internship. I get joy from being around my family. I get joy when I hang out with my friends. I get joy when my son doesn't get off the plane till 1:15 a.m. and wants to stay up and talk to me because he only comes to town once a year. I only get to see him twice. I'll go with just 2 hours of sleep. You know what I mean? That gives me joy. On my birthday, I was working. It was my 8-to-8 shift. And, you know, I was like, yeah, I'm working because I'm going to go get Colby after work tonight. So I'll work that day. And I turned around, and Keenan, my son Keenan, his wife Lexi, and Lenny walked through the door with 18 red roses and a gift card. And it made my day. I was kind of just going through the motions of that day, but when they walked in, joy came. And it changed my attitude. And my coworker said, "You're just different now." And I was like, "I really am," because it brought so much joy to my life. Because I want you to know, it wasn't about the stuff they gave me. It was about the presence of them walking in and letting all my coworkers get to meet them. Oh, it did something for my heart. And I get a lot of joy being surrounded by people that want to get better, that want to grow, that want a stronger relationship with the Lord. The Bible says that iron sharpens iron, and that's what we're to do with each other. I love sitting around talking about the goodness of God. And I love spending time with funny people. Pastor V on the front row, our youth pastor, is probably the funniest person I've ever met. Stand up and take a bow. I mean, hilarious. I love her. I love her joy. And Pastor Rich really is hilarious. Some of the time. But he thinks he's funny all the time. And he does make me laugh a lot. But also a lot, he says a lot of corny stuff, and I just give him that stare. So dumb. But can I just tell you, you all are not helping me. Y'all laugh at his corny jokes, so I'm gonna need you to simmer down and stop all that, because it encourages him, and I don't want to encourage the corny.
Saying all that to say this, I love annoying you.
I know.
It's what I live for. It's one of the things that brings me a lot of joy to see you. I love telling a joke and she totally doesn't get it, but like 8 other people have gotten it. I love that. It's just awesome. Seriously.
Seriously.
Seriously, I'm pretty basic. I said this a few weeks ago. I love the F word in church: family, friends, and food. You give me family, you give me food. Yesterday, my joy cup was overflowing. And it wasn't that I got a present or a gay present. It was because I got to spend time with my grandbabies and saw them all running around there. Yeah. But I love talking to my grandkids. That brings me joy, too. We get to talk to one of ours. He's old enough to talk back to us. We talk to Bubba on FaceTime all the time. Bubba. I think all little boys should be called Bubba. But, you know, he gets it from his G, though. He'll say, first thing he'll say is, "What are you doing?" Say it in a better voice.
"What you doing?
What you doing?
Talking to you."
And then he's learning how to be potty trained. Anyway. And then we'll say, "What do you get when you get, how much money do you have?" He gets a dollar or two. He says, "I get $1,000 and 2 suckers."
And last week when we were on FaceTime with him, he was drinking one of those little, you know, natural fruit punch things. Natural, maybe not natural. Fruit punch things. And he says, "I'm drinking fruit punch." got it at Target for $1,000.
Everything's $1,000 to him, so yeah. But, you know, I said that to say all this. Joy is a promise. Look what John 15:11 says. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. He doesn't want us to have a little bit of joy. He wants us to be full of joy. No matter what goes on in your life, no, you get to choose joy. And I promise you, when joy becomes your attitude, it will shift your circumstances. It will shift your the ways of thinking, your perspective. And a lot of times we have to understand that joy comes in God's timing too. We sometimes try to get ahead of him and right where he's trying to say, why don't you enjoy the moment that you're in? So many of us need to enjoy the moments that we're in and let God work out the rest of it. You may not be completely happy with your life and with your families, with finances, but you can always find joy in Jesus.
You know, I know today is not a traditional Christmas message. It's not by accident. It was very planned and purposeful. Because this year we've gone through a lot of not so joyful moments. And so we purposely chose joy as our theme, and we wanted to be a little more lighthearted and to give you some practical tips. Just having some gratitude. Just being present to the moment. Just spending time with people you love. But none of this would even be possible. We would not have any hope had Jesus not come to this earth as our greatest gift. So I just want you to close your eyes, and I'm not even going to ask you to raise your hand. They're going to dim the lights, and I just want to ask you a few questions. There's something so powerful when we self-reflect. Have you found yourself being a little sad this year? Have you found yourself so angry you can't even see straight? Have you felt hurt? Have you just been going through the motions to get on the other side of something, whether it be grief, whether it be family situation? Have you found yourself doing that? Jesus truly is our joy. And he's here today. And if you've never accepted the gift of Jesus, we're going to ask that you do that today. That you would step out of your comfort zone and say, here's my little life. It's all I have. And I want to give it to you because you gave me your best gift, your life. You were born. You died a horrible death. And you rose again so that I can live for eternity. The greatest gift, joy to the world. And so if you found yourself in any of those situations, we're going to be down front. And we're going to ask that you have someone, one of our pastors, our prayer team, someone to agree with you in prayer. We really believe here at our church that we walk in one way and we allow the Holy Spirit to encounter us and mold us and make us, and we walk back out different. So if you've been carrying any negativity, any sadness, anything like that this year, you can walk out with joy. Amen? So would you stand? Would you listen to the words of this song? You probably are not going to know it because it's new. Another thing that we were purposeful. That way you can hear the words, read the words, and allow your lives to be changed.
Thank you so much for joining us today. To find out more information about what we're all about here, please visit ourcitychurch.online. We love you. We're praying for you, and we'll see you next week.